We've got another great live session for you here on a Friday. Joining me in the JPR studios is Tony Furtado and his trio. Welcome back, Tony. Good to see you.
Good to be back.
Last time you were here, which was actually now quite a few years ago,
yeah.
You were here with another great musician out of Portland,
mm-hmm.
Stephanie Schneiderman.
Yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
It was great.
You have news, quite a bit of news since the last time you were here.
Well, we had already gotten married, I thought. Didn't we?
Yeah. I don't think you were married when you were
really?
Here.
Oh, really?
Well,
yeah. We are now. And
it's
we have
been a while.
A baby to show it.
A son named Liam?
Son named Liam.
Congratulations.
Yeah, about 14 months old.
You've got a trio now, too. Who's with you today?
Oh, today is Luke Price on fiddle and guitar and Sam Howard on bass, although he doesn't have his bass in studio, but he will tonight at the show.
Welcome, you guys. Tony, let's go back in time a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about how you ended up being
drawn. You're
going
to make me cry, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll try.
No, I'm just kidding.
How did you end up getting drawn to banjo and slide guitar? Banjo was first, right?
Yes.
How'd you get drawn to that?
Well, it's kind of a silly little story. It's kind of sad, too. It was back in the days when at least the California public schools had music, good music programs. And in fact, I was in sixth grade, and you had to take a introduction to music class. You know, and you get one of those little tonettes, like a little recorder, and you get
yeah.
to play these little simple single-line songs. But we also had to do a report on a musical instrument and make that instrument out of household items. I was making a lot of balsa wood airplanes at the time, so I got to thinking, well, I'll take a pie tin, glue some paper to it, paint it with some latex paint, put it in the oven to flash dry it, and stick on it rubber bands for frets and some nylon fishing string for the strings. I tuned them all to one note because I didn't know any better. And I had a little banjo. And I studied on up on it and found that it came from Africa. Had a really rich history of being part of a lot of different types of music, everything from blues and Celtic music to bluegrass, Appalachian folk music, you know, even classical music. And it just, I was hooked.
How many years was it from the time you made that school project to the time you actually got your hands on a real one?
It was months.
Really?
It was my 12th birthday. Yeah, my parents got me a real... It was either going to be... I said, look, I really want a banjo, but if you can't get me a banjo, I'll take a chemistry set. So, and I was really into science at the time, too. I was like nuts
Breaking
for...
So they figured that the banjo wouldn't blow up the house.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, so I got the banjo and I just kind of went over the deep end with it.
Tony Furtado and his trio are my guests live in the JPR studios. What do you want to play first?
We'll do a song I wrote called Golden... Actually, technically, it's called Golden Broken. It's a title cut from an album I put out a couple years ago.
Standing with your mother's old shoes and her name, leaves and things are scattered, and no one knows your pain. Like a whisper in the morning, I watch you fade away. All your golden, broken moments, they can't make me stay. They can't make me stay. From this place for the last time, all these white lines, watch them as they fade. All your golden, broken moments, they can't make me stay. They can't make me stay. Thank you. like a whisper in the morning. Watch you fade away on your golden broken moments. They can't make me stay. They can't make me stay. Hey.
That is Tony Furtado and his trio live in the JPR studios. I'm Eric Thiel. You're listening to the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. So, Tony, you got a banjo in your hands at about age 12.
Yep.
And by age 19, you were pulling off the win at the Grand National Competition here in the United States. That was a rapid progression.
Well, not in my eyes at the time. You know, when you're a kid, it's like just a year is a long time. And so that 7-year time period, I was just practicing a lot.
A lot of the kids that are in that competition, a lot of youngsters that are in that competition, grow up in the festival scene.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that you were doing too? Were you traveling to all of the different festivals around the country playing and jamming with people?
No, not so much.
Really?
I mean, wait a minute, how old? I was, 19. So I was just kind of going to whatever regional festivals there were. And I remember going to a lot of fiddle contests and hanging out at those, like in California and Weezer, Idaho, which actually, by the way, Luke here has won the national fiddle contest a couple times over in Weezer. So he probably knows what I'm talking about when I say I would go to these fiddle contests and there would be people just, these fiddle players everywhere practicing their tunes, just practicing these note-for-note things. And winning some prize money for it. And I was like, I could do that. I want to try that, you know. And the only contest that I really knew about was the National Banjo Contest, which is not nearly as rigorous as Weezer, the National Fiddle Contest. You know, Weezer, what do you have to – how many tunes do you end up playing when you win?
It just depends on how old you are, but, you know, at least 12.
Yeah, what, 12 tunes?
Yeah, that's for like the 8. And under 12 and under, I think.
So. Wow!
Because they go through the different cuts, like they cut down. And with the National Banjo Contest, I think there were 26 entrants that year, and it went from 26 immediately down to 5. And then you played, you know, and to do that, you just played 2 tunes first. And then when it gets down to the 5 people, you play 2 more tunes.
Are they tunes you write or tunes that you work up?
It's whatever you want, really. Huh. But what I did back then, I wanted to show, you know, that I was a well-rounded player. So I played, I think I did 3, altogether 3 traditional tunes and 1 original tune. And I did like a waltz, which not too many banjo players back then were entering contests with a waltz, you know. And I did a kind of a shredder and a couple of intricate pieces.
I want to talk a couple of technical things before we hear another tune. One of which is that as you're talking, you're sort of putting on and taking off finger picks on thumb and fingers.
Yeah.
You don't use them the same way on every tune, right? Sometimes it's just thumb picks. Sometimes you've got finger picks on.
Well, that's an interesting question. Actually, when I play live, I tend to always have them on.
Why?
Because I tend to pick a little bit harder, and I need to get the volume, and also sometimes I'm going for more intricate stuff. If I'm playing electric guitar, like in a studio or something, I'll tend to just use a thumb pick because I like the tone better with the bare finger. If I'm and sometimes I'll do that when I'm playing acoustic guitar in a studio, too. I'll take the 2 picks off because it's a nicer tone. It just depends, really. But with the banjo, I've always got the finger picks on.
One of the things that I have read you talking about is your onstage setup. I mean, today, as you'll see in the photographs, we'll have photos up on our website later after the session. But you limit yourself to just a couple of pedals when you're on stage. Mm-hmm. You really try to focus on one specific sound of your slide guitar, and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. I've always been curious of this as that applies to banjo. Mm-hmm. How do you adjust the sound of a banjo? Isn't it just sort of what it is?
Banjo is a banjo. It's, I mean, true. Otherwise, it kind of becomes an electric guitar or an odd-sounding guitar, you know?
Yeah. Is there much you can do? Because a lot of banjo players do actually have a much different-sounding instrument.
Oh, yeah. There is a lot you can do. There's a lot you can have fun with, which I have done over the years, like depending on which form of my band I've had over the years. There was a time I would just had a bunch of pedals, you know, in my cachet and get these crazy sounds going, sometimes even wah-wah pedal and a loop pedal, you know, but that's just not where I am right now. Mm. Who knows what I'll be doing in a year, though.
Yeah. A little earlier, you mentioned the roots of banjo, and its roots tracing back to Africa, and a lot of artists like Taj Mahal have started to investigate that a little bit more and incorporate some of those African roots. Is that something that has ever appealed to you, to try to learn banjo music from outside what we tend to think of as the traditional mode or model?
Well, sure. I mean, I've never had the urge to delve deep in the actual banjo roots, like, you know, into African music. Though I do love some of the pairings I've heard that Bela did when he did some explorations. You know, it's a cool thing. I do, from time to time, get interested in trying it out with other instruments or genres, of course. That's kind of what I've always done. I try to push my own boundaries, you know. There was a time I did a lot of duet shows with this really great Indian tabla player named Ty Burho, and that was a lot of fun, you know. It's just a different way of thinking, you know, because you don't want to just play what you play and have someone playing over it. You know, you kind of have to find a place to meet in the middle, and it makes you learn as a musician.
Yeah, he's been out in the area a number of times over the last few years as part of the Siskiyou String Summit that Tristan and Tashina Claridge put on. And it's always been a fascinating thing to hear how he integrates a vastly different musical language mm-hmm. with traditional American string music.
Yeah, yeah, he's great at that.
What do you guys want to play next?
Let's do Peggy-O. This is a song that I learned from... I learned it because I was playing a gig with my friend Scott Law. We have a duo we call Banjo Killers, and we were asked to be part of the String Summit up in Portland. We were asked to do a set that was a tribute set. The word was just not there. I was going for it. Okay, tribute to Jerry Garcia, because it was his 70th birthday, I guess. And so I hadn't really listened to much of the Grateful Dead, so I went sorting through and found a few songs that worked for me, and this was one of them. It's an old folk song called Peggy-O. What would
heard your mama think, pretty Peggy, oh. What would your mama think, pretty Peggy, oh? What would your mama think if she heard my guineas claim? Saw me marching at the head of my soldiers, oh. If ever I return, pretty Peggy, oh. If ever I return, pretty Peggy, oh. If ever I return, your city I will burn. Destroy all the people in the area. Stairs, pretty Peggy, oh. Come stepping down the stairs, let down your yellow hair, and bid your last farewell to William, oh. Sweet William is dead, pretty Peggy, oh. Sweet William is dead, pretty Peggy, oh. Sweet William is dead, he died for.
Is Tony Furtado, Luke Price, and Sam Howard live in the JPR studios. Well, earlier, Tony, you were talking about that school project when you were a kid, and prior to that, making some balsa wood airplanes and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
You have been handy with your hands for a long, long time, and that has actually really blossomed into a side career as a sculptor. Tell me a little bit about how you got started doing that.
Well, it was a similar story as far as getting started. It was seventh grade this time, and you had to take ceramics. And I got into ceramics.
It's a lot of had to's.
Yeah, you had to, but I didn't mind. I got in there, got some clay, and started making what the teacher wanted us to make, you know, and these funny little creatures and stuff, because he was really a great teacher. Like, he really would push us to use our creative spirit. And right off the bat, I was like, I was dragging out my stuffed animals from when I was a little kid and sculpting copies of my stuffed animals. And then I had the principal saw some of my stuff, and the principal gave me $10 to make a bald eagle for his kid. And so I was already thinking, I was like, well, if I'm going to make one and sell it to him, I'm going to make another one at the same time and sell it to someone else. So I made two of them side by side, sold him one and sold my grandma the other one. And so that's how I got in the business.
And then you actually went to college.
And I went to college as a fine arts major. I was gonna, I had every intention of finishing, but I got plucked out to play with Lori Lewis's band when I was about 20. I just kind of had enough of going to school. I wanted to just, you know, make my life as a musician. And I left ceramic sculpting behind for a while. You know, I kind of bumped into it a couple more times up until about 8 years ago. I just couldn't hold it off anymore and started sculpting in my basement a little bit. Then I got invited to be part of this really great arts community in Portland called the Falcon Community Arts. And I've just been pushing and pushing, loving doing it.
Where's the best place for them to see online? What it
I
is
don't
that
have
you're
any great sites set up, but right now, like some of my stuff is available on Etsy, as well as I have a Facebook set up that's just Tony Furtado Sculptures on Facebook. And eventually I'll get my stuff together and make it happen.
I was also reading online that you have started to make your own slides.
Oh, I've
slides.
Done that for years, yeah.
Why? First of all, why do you make your own?
Because I like playing, it's called bottleneck slide for a reason. You chop off the top of a bottle. And it's an old tradition. And when I learned how to do it, it was mainly because the first one I bought, I dropped the next day. And, you know, you drop it and break it. You don't want to have to go buy another one. So I learned how to make them. So when I decided to start selling them because there was this tour I was opening for Greg Allman for about a month, and I figured if anyone's going to buy them, his fans are going to buy them. So I brought 10 of them out on the road with me, and those sold the first night. I had to make them while I was on the road opening for him. Every night before the gig, I'd come back clinking with a bunch of wine bottles, making slides in my dressing room.
Is that what you use, wine bottles?
Yeah.
Is there something, do you have to look for a specific type? Or?
No, not at all. You know, it just depends on what you're most comfortable with playing. You know, I like them a certain way, but I can make whatever work as long as my finger fits.
Can we hear one more tune before we let
sure.
you go?
Yeah.
What do you want to wrap up with today?
This will be something I wrote as a... I was part of this online songwriters group, kind of a song club kind of thing, but unlike Fight Club, we could tell people about it. and every Sunday we'd get a title, and by Thursday we'd have to have the song written and upload it to this private site where everyone could check out other people's songs. And this particular week, the title was One Word More. And so I kept that as the first line of my song and changed the whole idea of using it as a title, which was allowed in the club. So this is called Can't Lie Down.
It was one word more than you had to let go. Now you're waiting to hear the things they wanted you to know. Pull your head up from the dirt, there's no solace in the ground. And hold your tongue while the devil's singing round. Ain't no place to lie down. Ain't no place to lie down. Ain't no place to lie down until the devil's in the ground. While your world is still in spin, hold your eyes to the sky, find your way back home again. The road goes rolling on, can't escape the threshold bound. You might buy a little time while the devil's hanging around. Ain't no place to lie down. There ain't no place to lie down. In the Do you know just what you found? You can't cheat the dealer while the devil's hanging round. Ain't no place to lie down. Ain't no place to lie down. Ain't no place to lie down. Devil's in the ground.
That is Tony Furtado, Luke Price, and Sam Howard live in the JPR studios. Tony, so good to see you again.
Thanks for having us.